Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me.
Presence already. Manifest presence already. Thank you, because tonight not only is your presence that real and tangible and manifest here, it is everywhere else, in people's homes, in their cars, wherever they may be. Let the same heaviness of God descend upon them. Let it cause the same miracles, signs and wonders to happen there, as well as here, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you speak to us, speak to us, speak to our hearts, inspire us, motivate us, put your hunger in our hearts, a hunger for the tangible presence of God, in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to Isaiah 64. And you'll understand now why I prayed the way I did. I'm speaking on the secret of his tangible presence. The secret of his tangible presence. Again, let me say that, like I usually would say, that it's not everything that can be said that I intend to say, but I'm only saying the things that I'm inspired to say. And I'm also a bit concerned tonight that I might not... Well, we'll see where we'll see where we get to. Amen. We'll see where we get to. But I titled it, like I said, The Secret of His Tangible Presence. Can I hear you say, The Secret of His Tangible Presence? I hope that I'm speaking to people who are hungry. I hope I'm speaking to people who desire the tangible presence of God, people who are not happy with religion. Amen. People who are not happy with just going through the motions, you know, because some people are actually satisfied with going through the motions. Some people are satisfied with the fact that they know how to, you know, say their nice little cute prayers, make the sign of a cross at the end of it, you know, and say in Jesus' name, amen. They are satisfied with, you know, their good Christian life, as it were. But I'm hoping that you will go, or you will step up a notch tonight. And I'm also trusting that if you were that kind of person who was satisfied with the average, so to speak, that tonight God will fill your heart with a hunger. Amen. That tonight there will be a stirring within you that would never be satisfied. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth that said that I'm only satisfied with the fact that I have a dissatisfaction for the presence of God that can never be satisfied. Hallelujah. So I pray that there will be that dissatisfaction, you know, with the average, that dissatisfaction with where you are in your walk with God, and there will be a hunger if it wasn't there. Amen. And if it was, may it be fanned further aflame. Hallelujah. May it become stronger and stronger and stronger. So Isaiah 64, so that before I just speak on too long, you know, I tend to read my text early so that I don't get lost, so that you know where I started from, you know what the text is, and then I can go in any direction. Amen. That tends to be the way that I speak, and I've done that for many years, because at a point I discovered that I would speak and I'd just go on and on and on and on. And in fact, I think there was one meeting where I was quoting but not saying where it was, and then it occurred to me that somebody might not even know that I'm talking Bible. Amen. So I said, okay, now open your Bible so that you know that I opened the Bible in this meeting. Amen. So since then, you know, you grow. Hallelujah. You grow in the things of God. So since then, I've learned to always start with my text as quickly as possible, and then I can move on. Hallelujah. So my text tonight is Isaiah 64. My first text, my first main text tonight is Isaiah 64 from verse 1. It says, oh, that you would rend the heavens. Rend means you will rip apart the heavens. That you will come down. That the mountains might shake at your presence. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries. That the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down. The mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, this is my favorite part. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. Hallelujah. So go to Psalm 26 also, then I'll try to say a few things, explain those texts as an introduction to what I'm saying tonight, or Psalm 16 rather. Let me also say tonight that I'm struggling. I'm struggling with the right words to express what I want to say. I'm struggling with the right words because I know that if you are very theological, you might I might say something that you might, you know, find not to be entirely theological grammar or accurate, theologically accurate, you know, grammatically. But I'm speaking accurately still. Amen. I'm speaking about the things that, in a sense, the things that we would tend to, we'll use different terminologies for what I'm talking about. We'll use different terminologies such as the anointing. We'll use terminologies such as the glory of God. We'll talk about the presence of God. We'll talk about manifestations of the Spirit. So what I'm speaking about tonight kind of is an interplay of everything. It's everything together that I have simply called the tangible presence of God. You know, that is that there is something about the believer, or there's a place the believer can and should live in where the presence of God is tangible around you. Can I have an amen? Where the presence of God is strong and real and manifest. Manifest means it's made visible. So it's not just that there is the presence of God. We know that there is the presence of God. David spoke in Psalm 139. He was speaking there and he said, even if I went to hell, your presence is there. Even if, you know, so he was saying your presence everywhere, basically. That's what David was saying. Yet we are saying in Isaiah 64, he says that you will rend or rip apart the heavens and you will come down. Hallelujah. And you shake the mountains with your presence. So if his presence is everywhere, what is this man talking about in Isaiah 64? He's talking about what I have called the tangible presence of God. So that manifest presence, that presence that is real, that you can't deny, that there's something, there's an awe, there's a vibe that a believer can give. There's an aura that a believer can give, but that is actually just a manifestation of the presence of God. Can I have an amen? So Psalm 16 verse 11, it says, you will show me the path of life. And please note, if you're an English student, it has a semicolon after. A semicolon or a colon means that whatever is before and after are related. Okay? So it says that you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. So we refer to that a lot. Okay, so first Isaiah was talking about that tangibility of his presence. So he was not talking about the presence of God being everywhere, but he was saying there's a tangibility. And my desire is that, God, you will make that presence tangible. You know, where I am, my desire is that you will rend the heavens, you will shake everywhere with your presence. And I'm saying that that ought to be the desire of every believer. Can I have an amen? You know, it was said, I like to read a lot of biographical and historical books. And one of the greatest revivalists ever was Charles G. Finney. And Charles G. Finney would go into places to hold meetings, and it was said that whenever Charles G. Finney came into town, not only was it that the glory of God fell in the place where Charles G. Finney was, but for a radius around wherever he was, the presence of God was very strong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The presence of God was very strong. In fact, it was said once that he was on a train that passed through a town. And when the train stopped in that town, he didn't get down. He was on the train. There was an aura in that whole place, but somebody was telling his neighbor, he said, I don't know what is happening to me. I don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know what's going on. And the other man said, oh, Charles G. Finney is in town. He was passing by. He was just on the train. He said, Charles G. Finney is in town. And I'm saying to you that it's not, it's where we are meant to live. That's what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 16. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So my emphasis in Psalm 16 is not the fullness of joy. It's not the pleasures evermore. Those are the jaras, if you know what jara means, amen. Those are the extras that come with that presence. But what the psalmist was saying is that you will show me how to live. Are you hearing me? The psalmist was saying, you will show me how to live. And how am I supposed to live? He said, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. So the secret of life, the psalmist was saying, is that I live in that tangibility of your presence, and in that there is fullness of joy, in that there are pleasures evermore. Can I have an amen? That's how every believer is supposed to live. That's the kind of life we ought to have. Are you still there? You know, I was in South Africa some years ago, and I was talking to, I met this man who really talked a lot, and a nice guy, but he spoke a lot. He was a professor. And I was sitting with another professor who came from Nigeria with me, and you know, when this man finished talking, the other man began to talk to me. And he then began to tell me about this man that, you know, I just met. I knew the other one quite well, also a professor, and I mean, I just met the other man. So this one began to tell me about the other man. And he said, you know, that guy was a believer. I didn't know this guy was somebody we had just sat down, we had just talked, you know, and chatted and all of that. And in fact, as a matter of fact, he had just taken, you know, whatever alcoholic drinks he would take, and offered to buy, you know, whatever I wanted to drink. So this other person began to tell me, he said, do you know that guy went to school in Nigeria? He was not a Nigerian. He said he actually went to school in Nigeria, and that he knew him when he was, I think, the first one in the polytechnic. He said, I knew him when he was there. He said, and he was the fellowship president. I said, really? I could not have guessed. You know, meeting him now, I couldn't have guessed that's who he was. He said, yeah. He said, in fact, he walked in a realm with God that was amazing. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said it was so real that if you walked past his room, you know, in the hostel, he said, if you walk past and walk on the corridor past his room, you will almost be knocked down by the presence of God. I said, wow. He said, but this is him today. I didn't say that to talk about his backsliding nature. I said that to talk about that realm of the tangibility of the presence of God that we're talking about. Are you still there? I think it was Jerry Sabel that spoke and shared a testimony how he went to the shopping mall. His wife wanted him to take him to the shopping mall, so he took her there. And he said, so while they were there, the wife was looking around shopping. He said he just began to walk around. He wasn't really interested in anything. He said he was just walking around. He said, but after a while, he saw that there was a lady that was following him and eventually came and blocked him. And she said, you know, I was praying. I needed a healing. I'm sick. He said, but as I prayed, God said I should come to the shopping mall. He said, and I should look. He said, I will see a light on somebody. He said, and whoever that light is on, ask him to pray for you. She said, so she came to that mall, and she saw the light in that shop. She said, so she began to follow the light all over the place, trying to figure out until she was sure, this light is from this guy. She said, so that she then came and told him, and said, please, would you pray for me? And of course, yes, he laid hands on her, and instantly she was healed. Are you with me? You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. I think that many believers are satisfied with much less than what God wants us to have. One of the most challenging parts of scripture for me as a person is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay? Maybe we'll just read a part of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you beginning to get what I'm talking about tonight? So where we're going is, how do I walk? What makes the presence of God so real around anybody? What makes the glory of God so real around anybody? And this is not a case of this is for ministers or any. This is for anybody who tests and hungers. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, blessed are those who thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Isaiah 44 and verse 3, he says, I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty. I'll pour my spirit. I mean, are you hearing what I'm saying? So it happens for anybody who is thirsty and who says, I want to live that way. Are you there? As a matter of fact, I think, where was I before? I said you should open to 2 Corinthians 3. We'll go back there. As a matter of fact, I think that many people, you know, for many of us, there's even a degree of it that we walk in. And we tend to take for granted. Are you with me? So, also tonight, what I'm saying to us is, don't take it for granted, but cultivate the presence of God. Actually, the term I used to use for that was practice the presence of God. Be conscious of the presence of God. Cultivate it by ensuring that you are constantly prayerful, constantly introspective, constantly fellowshipping deliberately with God. Are you with me? You know, when I think about that, I think about Samson. Okay? Samson had the presence of God tangibly on his life. But he got so used to it that he took it for granted. So, by the time he fell on Delilah's lap and they had cut off his hair, as he had said, that was the secret of making him useless. Amen. And his hair had been cut. The Bible says that he got up when Delilah said, hey, the Philistines are upon you. He got up as before, the Bible says, but he knew not that the presence of God was not with him. Again, remember Psalm 139. Not that the presence of God was not. It's everywhere. Are you hearing me? But that tangible presence of God, something was missing. It was not like before. So again, I'm talking about the fact that don't take it for granted. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've heard Andrew Womack speak about that, being in that kind of scenario before. I've been in that situation before where I was not really in fellowship. I wasn't backsliding, I wasn't in sin, but I was not really in fellowship, where I just wasn't really walking with God. So I'm talking about cultivating the presence of God. And I knew, it's like taking off somebody's clothes. I knew I was exposed. I knew I was empty. Are you with me? I knew something was gone. But I'm saying to us that we should live in it and cultivate it. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So this is very challenging to me, because again, people will say, well, are you talking about a feeling? Not really, but I'm also not saying that you can't have a feeling. Are you there? So not really. I'm not really saying we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, that's correct. But I'm also saying to you that when we walk with God, there's a realm where the supernatural touches the natural. There's a place where the supernatural and the natural are inseparable in your life. Are you with me? You know, Paul was speaking and he said, I knew a man, whether in the spirit or in the flesh, I know not. He said, I'm in, in a place I can't separate them. I can't separate the spiritual from the physical. I just dwell in a place. So I knew a man, but I'm not even sure whether that was in a vision or whether that was real. The two have become mixed so much. Are you there? And I'm saying to you that that's available to every believer. Available to every believer. I'm talking about where on a daily basis, as you go about what you do, you just can sense the presence of, and people, other people can sense it also from time to time. They can tell there's something about you. They don't know what it is, but they know there's something about you. They can tell that when you get into a place, the atmosphere changes. They don't know why, but they know that the atmosphere changes. Are you there? You can stand there and things are happening and all of a sudden you know exactly what to do and what to say, and it's just supernatural. You are picking it from deep down within. You know it's not your natural senses. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, again, just to tell us that this is all for everybody. This is for us, and this is how we ought to live under the new covenant. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me read it from verse 5. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant. Okay, it's just writing to everybody in the church, not to ministers. It says, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant. Not of a letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And this is where I'm going, verse 7. It said, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious. Can I hear you say glorious? He said it was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Now, if you get back home, I encourage you to read the whole chapter. And it was referring to that experience that many of you are familiar with about Moses in the Old Testament. The fact that Moses spent, 40 days on the mountaintop with God. And the Bible says that when he came down and he was speaking to the people, his face was glowing. So that they couldn't bear to look at him, and they had to cover his face with a veil because he was shining. And he was saying that, look, if under the Old Testament Moses had that kind of experience and the glory of God was that manifest on the face of Moses, he said, how much more would the glory of God be manifest in our own lives under a new covenant like this? Are you with me? I said, are you with me? So what we're then looking at is, how then do I live? If you picked what I've been saying all along, you realize that number one thing that ensures that anybody will live that way and enjoy that kind of tangible presence is your hunger. Maybe one day I'll just speak about hunger, spiritual hunger alone. We just talk about spiritual hunger. Okay? People sometimes wonder and say, me, I don't know about this thing. I hope this kind of thing won't happen to me. All kinds of experiences people have had. Somebody said the fire of God came upon him. He felt like he was going to die. The way the thing was burning. And somebody said, I'm not sure I want that kind of experience. So don't worry, you won't have it. Because it's the hunger that he has that took him there. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you don't have the same hunger for the things of God, it won't happen. The hunger that some of us also have had over the years is what has taken us along the journey that we've been on. It's that spiritual hunger, that refusal to be ordinary, that refusal to live a life without seeing the heavens rent or rent. With the presence of God coming down, is what has taken me on a journey. Are you there? So you understand immediately that one of the first things will be that kind of spiritual hunger. But how do I cultivate that presence? You know, that's what I'm then saying. Oh, how do I? What do I do? What are the things I do or can do or how I live? I put this, this kind of message under what I call lifestyle, because there are certain things that are about the lifestyle of a believer. This is supposed to be the lifestyle of a believer. And number one thing that ensures that you cultivate the tangible presence of God around you always is that you have a commitment to God's word. You have a whole commitment to God's word, to live by God's word, to do everything by God's word. You are committed to the word of God, that you want to see every bit of that word also come to pass in your life and through your life. Go to John chapter 14. John 14. So the believer who's going to have and walk in the tangible presence of God is the believer who is committed to God's word. Committed to God's word. You know, there are many people that want to just have a spirit. I want gifts of the spirit. I want manifestations of the spirit. Somebody said if you have the word, how do they say that? If you have the word without the spirit, you will... Is it blow up? If you have the spirit without the word, no. I mix it up, you know. But you need a combination. And if you are going to walk in the manifestations of God, because basically, like I said, it's an interplay of words. All these things I'm talking about, that tangible. So I've summarized everything from the anointing to what we might call the glory of God. I've summed it all into the tangible presence of God, the manifest presence of God. And if you'll have that with you consistently, constantly, then you'll have to be committed to God's word. The number one thing that every believer who will see God manifest in their lives will have is a strong commitment to the word of God. Strong commitment to the word of God. Kenneth Copeland will talk about a quality decision, which is a decision you will never turn away from. You will have a quality decision to say, this is my instruction manual for life, and I will follow every detail that the Bible has for me. Are you there? You know, the psalmist says, all of your words concerning all things I've considered to be right. What he was saying is that, you know, there's no argument. I was sharing something, I don't remember what it was, but I shared something. Most of the time when I share something on the WhatsApp group, I tend to share on the group in Ibadan as well. So I shared it there, and somebody asked a question, but what this, what is that, but what about this, what if it doesn't go this way and that way? So I just replied, and I said, our job is not to rationalize God's word. Our job is to believe it and accept it. Are you there? So I'm not there to try to rationalize. I mean, if God says that a table is a chair, so shall it be. Are you with me? As far as I'm concerned, if God calls a dog a chicken, from that day we call it chicken. If I see it in Bible that they draw a picture inside Bible and they say, this is a chicken and I know it to be dog, from that day it has become chicken for me. Do you understand? You can laugh at me, you can do it, but I will be chicken. That's why we call it. Everybody will say dog. Even children will say, it's a dog. I say it's a chicken. Why is it a chicken? God's word says it's a chicken. Are you there? John 14. Look at what Jesus has to say about that. Remember what we're saying? If you will cultivate the tangible presence of God, you will be committed, first and foremost, committed to God's word. So John 14, verse 21, Jesus speaking, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and do what? Manifest myself to him, make myself visible to him. I will manifest myself to him. So you must have that uncompromising commitment to God's word. Verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and do what? make our home with him. God doesn't have any regard for anyone who doesn't have a regard for his word. He says, he that fears the word will be rewarded, but he that despises it will be destroyed. In Isaiah 66, God was speaking and he said, look, I am the God who made everything. Okay, from verse 1. He said, I made everything. He said, so where is the house that you built for me? You know, even the heart is my footstool. He said, so where is the thing? What are you going to build? This glass cathedral? What are you building? He said, all of that does not impress me. This is the Odubando translation. He says, none of that impresses me. He says, but unto him will I look, he that trembles at my word. So God says, look, the person that moves me and I have regard for is the person that has great regard for my word. Tremble at my word means he hears my word and it moves him a lot. You know the way you used to feel when maybe your father came home or your teacher was approaching the class and you hear the voice and you have been busy doing what you should not be doing. And you hear that voice, the way you shake and you tremble at the word. God says, when my word moves you that way, then you are somebody I'll have regard for. Are you still there? And that also, of course, speaks to a lifestyle. Because there have been theological arguments. Matthew 28:20, he says, lo, I'm with you always. So there have been theological arguments with people who will say, well, God's presence is with us. It doesn't matter. We are not getting the presence because of what we do or we don't do. They are right in a sense, but they're also wrong. Okay, they're also wrong. Why are they also wrong? Because there are levels. Okay, there are levels. Yes, indeed, God says, Lord, I'm with you always. That's true, be there, but not tangibly. Jesus was speaking, John 8 and verse 29. What did he say? He said, my Father is with me. He has not left me. For I do always the things that please him. So there's something to be said for a lifestyle of righteousness. Are you there? There's something to be said for a lifestyle of holiness. There's something to be said for a lifestyle of obedience. If you cultivate the presence of God, there has to be a lifestyle of obedience to God's word concerning everything. Everything. You can't joke with it. You can't play around with it. I think that's why the psalmist was speaking in Psalm 15, who can ascend to your tabernacle and come into your presence? He that has what? A clean heart and whatever. I mean, so what's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that even though the same psalmist is telling you the presence of God is everywhere, he's still also telling you that there is an element of closeness, of fellowship that you cannot get except you live by the word. Can I have an amen? Number two, you have to be a worshiper. Actually, I felt I'll have to speak about this since last month. And this was actually what inspired me, is worship. Is that you can't cultivate the tangible presence of God without being a worshiper. It just doesn't happen. And I got thinking about myself. I got thinking about people that I knew. And in all honesty, in my hunger for God's presence, tangible presence, I would watch people, listen to people, read people's books, and I discovered that everybody I had regard for, high regard for, and I thought this person had the tangible presence of God strongly on their lives, I discovered they were all worshipers. Are you there? It doesn't mean that they had a great voice, but clearly they were people who loved to worship God. And clearly, there were people who didn't just worship God on a pulpit. Are you there? You know, how would you know if you're a worshiper? If it takes just the right keyboard and beat to get you to worship with the right singer, then you are not a worshiper. Are you there? If despite the wrong key, you can get lost in the spirit singing to God and praising his name, you are a worshiper. How many people know what I'm talking about? If the drummer is missing the beat, the The singer, lead singer is on key A. Backup is doing E. And yet you are still flowing in the spirit. You are a worshiper. Are you with me? You know, I was referenced the other day, by Pastor Debo was telling us about Acts 16. You know, if you can worship God in the prison, the prison where you are, because of obedience to God. Okay, so you need to put all that together. You understand what I'm saying? You have tried to follow God and God's leading for your life, and it ended up in prison. That's what happened to Paul and Silas. It's God they were obeying, you know, not nightclub. They didn't go to nightclub. And then they were arrested by Nigeria police. You know, for one loitering. I mean, they didn't even just stroll around to go and buy suya at night, you know, and then they get arrested. No. They were obeying God. They were ministering and obeying God, and then you get arrested. And being arrested for obeying God and thrown into prison, the Bible says at midnight, they sang praises to God. They prayed and they sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Then you can see examples of worshipers. They had every reason to grumble. They had every reason to just be questioning God. God, why now? We did what you said. Did we miss you? Did we miss your direction? Why would you let this happen to you? When are you going to deliver us from here? They could just sit there and be grumbling. But they were not doing that. Why? Because they were worshippers. So I'm talking about worshippers, or worship as a lifestyle. Not the person who worships because the music is right. I'm talking about the person who worships when there's no music. The Bible talks about the fact that, I think Hebrews 13:15, we should offer up to God the sacrifice of praise. The word sacrifice means it's inconvenient, or it carries a subtle meaning of inconvenience. So if it says we should offer up the offering of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. So it's talking about it's inconvenient. The worshiper is the one who will do it, whether it's convenient or not. Are you there? I said, are you there? You know, Psalm 22, verse 3, the Bible says God is enthroned in praises. The old King James would say what? Inhabits the praises of his people. Inhabit means to live in. To live in, or to move in to the praises of his people. So the same meaning that the word enthroned means. Enthroned means that you come and sit on a throne. That's why we sing that song. You remember that song? That's, you know, come and sit on your throne, or what do we say there? You know, so the idea is that when the praises are there, God moves into that environment. He's in the environment where praise is offered. Are you with me? That's what happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when they were dedicating the temple. From about verse 13, then the Bible says what the musicians and everybody were as one to offer praises to God. He said, and when they did, he said, then the glory of God filled the house, such that the priests could not stand to minister. So what happened there? He said, as they began to offer the praises, God inhabited the praises of the people. And that's what, again, like I said, an interplay of words, he called it the glory of God. The glory of God, the word, the term glory of God in the original Hebrew, perhaps literally, is best expressed as the heaviness of God. The heaviness of God, which is it's like God coming and manifesting himself in his fullness. And when that happens, when you call it the heaviness of God, if it's like God being heavyweight, and then he shows up in full. That's why many times people will fall, because the heaviness of God. Are you with me? So he referred to it as the glory of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And he said the priest could not stand to minister. If they could not stand to minister, what does that mean? It means they were falling. Are we? It means that standing was an impossibility. They were falling. They couldn't stand to minister. Are you there? I said, are you there? 2 Kings chapter 3. Okay, maybe we should read that one. 2 Kings chapter 3. And maybe I'll just stop at that at this point. I have 2 more points to go, and maybe we'll do that some other time. Perhaps the next School of Miracles, maybe. We'll see what God wants. Are you there? I said, are you there? Are you getting anything tonight? I believe that God wants to take us to that place where we completely take charge of our environment, even consciously and unconsciously. I mean, just like Mr. Sajay was referring to earlier, you know, I went to my secondary school years ago to minister. I was in the university. And while we're waiting, before the meeting started, I had 1 or 2 other people from our fellowship with me, and we're talking. Just standing outside the hall where they were going to meet. And then when the meeting started, you know, just as we did tonight, they will ask testimonies. And a young girl, you know, raised her hand and came out to give a testimony. And in fact, we're still talking, so I didn't really hear. I had to ask her after to say, sorry, what did she just say now? And then he told me what she said. And apparently, as she was coming to the place, she had this eye trouble. I don't know what it was exactly, BG, eye swollen, eyes, blah, blah. And so she was struggling with her eyes. But she said as she was approaching the place, God told her, God said, look at them. You know, and all she did was look at us, and the eyes were healed. Those things, I believe, are much more for today. Are you hearing me? I believe they are much more for today, and they are for the whole body of Christ. That you will go to places and somebody will say, you know, check, then follow you and say, sorry, oh, thank you very much. Say, thank you for what? Say, well, your shoulder hits me now, and the pain that had been troubling me since 3 weeks ago just left. I thought in a joke, but I was checking now. I still see that it has gone. Oh. Say, thank you, sir. Thank God, me, I don't. Are you there? When the Bible says, I think that's Habakkuk 2:14, if I'm right, when it says that the heart will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, I believe that's how it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen because too many believers are just busy carrying that tangible presence all over the place, that there will be too many stories. You know, I was in Ijebu Ode some years ago, ministered, a blind eye was open. The next morning, I had to sleep over at night vigil, so early morning I slept, and then as we were driving out, we met somebody who, you know, and then the minister that I went to minister for was with me, showing me the way out of the city. And then this person, you know, he said, oh, he wanted to greet a person, so we stopped to greet a person. And I was like, okay. And then he said, oh, this is my guests and all that. And I said, okay, nice to meet you. In fact, I heard that blind eye open, you know. But that's where it ended. It didn't show up in the newspaper. Are you with me? It wasn't on NTA News or any other news. But the heart would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God when those things don't just happen in church. Are you there? There's no escaping it when it begins to happen all over the streets, when it's happening in the offices, when it's happening in the schools. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then there's no escaping it. When it's happening in church, you can keep it there somewhat. But when things are happening all over the place, then there's no way the knowledge of the glory of God will not fill the earth. Because it will be unavoidable. If you don't report it, even as a news person, then you'll be fired. Because every other news channel will report it, you won't report it. I mean, imagine what will happen if a, I don't know anybody, but if there was a crippled person that's been on around here for years and everybody knows where he stays and he begs and all of that, and then somebody walks by and he just, you know, to, he owes the person to say, please give me money, and then he begins to walk. Imagine what will happen in the whole area. You know what they said in Acts chapter 5? Acts chapter 5 verse 15, the Bible says that they brought out the sick, put them by the roadside. You know what they wanted? He said all they wanted was for Peter's shadow to fall on them. And many of them were healed. Demons were cast out. What it meant was that they put the sick by the roadside. Peter was, they didn't even know who was there. He just walked by. But as long as he walked by, he was close enough, his shadow fell on those people, they got healed. Are you with me? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 3. Let's wrap this up. So we're talking about, you know, the secret of his tangible presence. What makes the presence of God become tangible around people? So here we have two kings who had gone to, they were about to go to battle. And then the one of them who had been invited by the other king, that is Jehoshaphat, was invited by the king who really wanted to go to battle. And then he said, why don't you come with me? Then Jehoshaphat was smart enough and said, hey, is there no prophet that we can speak to before we go into battle? Then they went to see Elisha. So in verse 15, or rather, let's read it from verse 14. So Elisha said, so these two kings were sitting in front of Elisha, apparently. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. So he was talking to the king of Israel, and he said, I don't like you. I don't like you. I don't like to deal with you. He said, but except for Jehoshaphat, who is with you here, I would just have ignored you. Why am I saying all of that? Because the prophet was not in the mood. Are you with me? So there's nothing like he was in a spiritual mood. The man was not in the mood. He detested this king. And he said, it's only Jehoshaphat that's making me talk to you. So he said, okay, you know what? But now bring me a musician. And the Bible says, then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. What was that? He was saying, let's change this atmosphere to an atmosphere of worship. That's what he said. Basically, I'm in a nasty mood. He said, but let's turn this atmosphere around. Let's create an atmosphere of worship. And the Bible says, the moment they did, the hand of the Lord came upon him. So what happens then if I can create or consistently have an atmosphere of worship around me? Then it means that I can consistently have the hand of the Lord upon me. Are you there? That's why you find a scripture like Ephesians 5 that talks about be not drunk, verse 18, with wine when there is debauchery or when there is drunkenness. He said, but be in a continual state of being filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymn, and spiritual songs. So what's he saying? He's saying, as I do that, I keep myself in a continual state of being drunk with the Spirit. As I continue to speak to myself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So tonight, what have we said? We should have a strong desire to cultivate the tangible presence of God around us, and it's available to everyone, especially under this new covenant with God. If Moses had it, we can have it. Amen? And the tangible presence of God is not just the presence of God, it's the presence of God that is real, that is felt, that moves things around. Amen? Hallelujah. And we're talking about some of the habits that will make you cultivate that presence of God. And we said two things tonight. Number one, be absolutely committed to God's word. Be absolutely committed to God's word. There are many people who want to have the gifts of the Spirit and all of that, and I tell them, get in the word. Get in the word. You know what Jesus said about the ministry of the Holy Ghost in John 16? He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will glorify me. And Jesus generally is referred to as the word. So he said, he will glorify me. So I always tell people, if you get in the word, you and the Holy Ghost will collide there. You will meet in the word, because the ministry of the Holy Ghost is about the word. It's about glorifying the word. He said he won't speak of himself. That's what he said. He said, but whatever he hears, he will say, for he will glorify me. So get in the word. Be committed to God's word. And then number two, be a worshiper. Let's stand on our feet. So we'll talk about two more things next time, whatever time that is. Lord, I thirst for you, and I long to be in your presence. My soul will wait on you. Father, draw me to the beauty of your holiness. Say, Lord, I thirst for you, and I long to be in your presence. Yes, my soul spend. You want prayer for anything, if you are sick, or you want prayer tonight for whatever reason, you want a touch of God on your life, you want God to set you ablaze, whatever reason, I want you to just come out. Hebrews 6 declares the laying on of hands as a fundamental in the gospel, as a fundamental. So time is fast spent, and I just want to minister quickly. Stand. God is in manifestation already. Pretty strong. Pretty strong. Pretty strong. So just close your eyes where you are. Whatever it is you expect from God, expect the touch of God. Expect the touch of God. As I say that, the glory of God is coming strong in manifestation. Expect the touch of God. It says, as they played, the hand of God came upon Elisha. So the hand of God is coming upon you tonight. The hand of God is coming upon you tonight. The hand of God is coming upon you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your hand. Your mighty hand, your mighty hand, your mighty hand, your mighty hand upon him. Your mighty hand upon him. Yeah, that's it. Already, that's it. Pretty strong. Thank you, Lord. Your mighty hand upon him. Strong. In the name of Jesus. That's your mighty hand on him. That's your mighty hand on him. That's your mighty hand on him. Stay alert. I told you, just watch all of them. The mighty hand of God is strong on this place. Legadosa, Bradoso, Fredishta, Brando, Soclo, Boso, Belly. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your mighty hand, mommy. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand upon her. Your mighty hand upon her. Your mighty hand upon her. Your mighty hand upon her is strong and strong on her there. Legadosa, Boso, your mighty hand upon her. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand upon her. That's it. Just take it. Just take it, man. Just take it, man. Just take it, man. Just take it, man. Just take it. Take it. Take it. Lord, thank you. Let it come strong on her. Thank you. Yeah. Your mighty hand. 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 Jesus, the mighty hand, Lekoso Pradishta. Yeah, that's it already on you. Strong, 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 strong. Yes, getting stronger. Getting stronger. Mighty hand on you. Lepo Kloboso Pradishta Prahande. Legasto Prakamando Soko Poraba Shakarabosta. Yeah. God's mighty hand. God's mighty hand. God's mighty hand. God's mighty hand. God's mighty hand, God's mighty hand, God's mighty hand. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everybody just praying in the spirit. 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 Just praying in the spirit. Just praying in the spirit. Legadosa, brandoso, cloposo. Kekile pahusta, brandese. Leboshta and Osa Brahasta. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your mighty hand. If you needed a physical healing, just check yourself. I believe that has taken place. That has taken place. That has taken place. Maka Leboshta Amrosto Freddy Kutikom. Lebosto Kaboshta Brando Sokolo Boshta. Recover from the fire of God. Yeah, been playing in the shallow waters. It's time to go deep with God. Time to go deep with God. Let that experience stay with you for days. Just begin to give him praise tonight. 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 Let God also produce the brahande. Rabakabashakarabahashta. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him.
Lord, I trust for you. And I long to be in your presence. My soul will wait on you. Father, draw me nearer. I pray, draw me nearer.
Yeah, the same glory of God falls. Falls in people's rooms, people's cars, wherever you are. It comes strong upon you. Receive it with expectation now in the name of Jesus. The same fire burns. Promise, Lord,
Almighty God,
yes,
in the beauty of your holiness,
and I will worship,
I will worship you.
Particularly that there will be a hunger birth within us, even in those who are online or watching even later. Let your fire burn a hunger into our hearts that stays there forever, that makes us God chasers, that makes us to pursue after God. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for miracles, healings, signs, and wonders. Thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice is healed, set free in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.